Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Do what? In all your ways, acknowledge him. How do you acknowledge him? By giving him the care. By making the decision, not going to worry. Lord, you told me, so I'm acknowledging him. Father, you told me to do it this way. I'm doing it to the best of my understanding and to the best of the wisdom you've given me. I'm applying your word to the best of my understanding. If I'm doing something wrong, show me. But I'm making one decision. I know I'm not supposed to worry. I can nail that down. I am not supposed to be worried about it. Nail it down. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him. And he shall what? He shall direct your path. There's the instruction. See, now he's the director. Do this. Do that. Stop doing that right there. Don't go that way. Go this way. See, now he's directing. We just thought God's going to do it all by himself. He's going to direct everything. Yeah, he might direct your path through telling you what to do. That means he's in charge of your path. That means that he's saying, okay, now do this right here and do that. He'll direct your path. He will. But you got to be listening to hear for the directions. He can't direct your path if you're not receiving directions. Everybody say, I ain't worried about nothing. See, I believe God wants this to be a carefree church. That don't mean that we're a church without problems or without opposition or without challenges. Now, I'm not saying that type of church because that's impossible. Jesus said in the world you're going to have tribulation. That's a fact of life. Trouble comes to everybody. But I believe we'll be the kind of church that we know what to do with these cares. I want you to get it today. The Holy Ghost wants you to get a hold of this today and wrap your heart around what I'm telling you today and make the decision that you're not going to worry. Because evidently the Lord is trying to prepare us for something. Amen. For him to be on it like this, what he's doing is setting us up for miracles because the devil may be trying to arrange something to bring some destruction, but because we've learned to cast our cares on the Lord and to pray and to believe God and to thank God and to get over into praise and be of good cheer in the midst of it, it's going to allow God to direct us into the path that he called us to, which is the path of life and the path of blessing, and miracles will happen. The stronger the difficulty, the greater the glory. Because I've applied these principles and they work. I've seen firsthand God move in situations that seemed like they was impossible. I've seen it with my own eyes. I know the word of God works, and God wants that to be imparted to you, the spirit of a conqueror, an overcomer, someone that's not worried, because worry is going to choke you. Cut your circulation. God doesn't want your circulation cut. So take heed to this word. All right, John 14. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we know not the way, whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. All right, let me read that out of the Amplified. Verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled, distressed, agitated. You believe in and adhere to and trust and rely on God. Believe in and adhere to and trust in and rely on me also. Hallelujah. He said, just keep believing in me. He said, don't let your heart be agitated. Don't let it be troubled. That's something you got to do. You got to make a decision. I'm not going to walk around with a troubled heart. I'm not going to have a troubled heart. I've got challenges in my life, but one thing, I've made a decision. I'm not going to have a troubled heart, because Jesus told me not to. Right? He told me to trust in him, rely on him, depend on him. That means that I can have confidence to know that he's going to take care of me. Amen. Amen? Whatever your problem is today, I'm going to tell you the Lord can handle it. Amen? Glory to God. Father, we just thank you right now. I'm going to tell you, cast your cares on him right now. Whatever concerns you, whatever's got you weighted down. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. That means if you got a heavy load on you, get out from under that load. That's not the will of God. He said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Hallelujah. He said, come unto me, he said, and you'll find rest for your soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions. You know, your mind, you just be agitated and frustrated. Oh, that's not the will of God. We resist the devil. We cast those cares. Make a decision right now. You are not going to worry about what you're concerned about right now. And make your request known to God with thanksgiving. Thank God that. Say, Lord, I just thank you that you're working this thing out. That you're working it out according to your plan and your purpose. Hallelujah. You're working in this situation right now. Therefore, I don't have to worry about it. I'm not going to be concerned about it. If I need to do something, you'll direct my path. Hallelujah. I'm making a decision right now to trust in the Lord. How many of y'all do that today? How many of you really say, you know what, we'll take this message to heart and say, you know what, Pastor? I'm going to put a stake in the ground today, and I am making a decisive dedication of my life to the Lord to such a degree that I am going to apply this word to my life, and I'm making a decision that I'm not going to worry about anything, that I am going to trust God in everything, with everything. I'm going to tell you, he's trustworthy. Amen. You can make it. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. Tell your neighbor, say, you're going to make it. Say, it ain't bad as what you think. Say, it's not bad as what you think.
You have been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center. I trust that you've received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $5 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street in Alexandria, Louisiana, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
KAYT and KQJOFF. We're five cities strong all day long. Believe it. We've got Louisiana on lock.
May I have your attention?
The best of the old. The best of the new. The best variety in music.
The best variety in music.
Tons of music.
Awesome.
On.
Online anytime. 24/7 at www.kaytfm.com.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
In the words of late great Dr. Caesar A.W. Clark, I want to get some fresh water from an old well. Found in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 28. And it simply says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, and we know. That's all I want to talk about today. And we know. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. My brother, my sister, this is a very familiar text. And I pray that none allow the familiarity of the text to cause your mind to wonder before getting this fresh word that we have prepared today. There are some things about the text that I think is so important for us to understand as Paul pens this letter to the Romans. It is important to understand the context around the text that sets up the support system for the text. And it helps us to understand that all of the things that Paul has spoken in this eighth chapter, and many of them in previous chapters, is what he now projects in this thought of "and we know." One of the things that I think is so important about this very word is to understand that the setting sets the stage for those of us who have an experience with God. This is for folk who know God. This text is for those who have experience with God. This text is for those who have been in a place and who have dealt with situations, and it's been dark and it's been stormy and it's been rough and it's looked like no way out. It's been a place where you've been by yourself. It's been a place where there was no seemingly help or light in that dark place, but God stepped in and worked it out even before you could figure it out. And there is a confidence that is here in the text that I hope and pray the believers would claim as their own before they leave here today. "And we know." This word "know" embodies more than the definition of knowledge or to know something. First of all, it means to know experientially, meaning it's been your experience that what we're talking about is something you know about firsthand. You see, a whole lot of folk like to talk good talk, but they've never had the walk to bring it to pass. A lot of folk love the wonderful testimonies, but they've not had the test themselves. A lot of folk like to get in front of folk and talk about the Lord will make a way, but they ain't never been in a situation where they've had to trust him to do it. And so this community of believers is important to understanding that to be a part of this, you've got to say, "And we know experientially," which means you could put my story right in the text. You can put my test in the testimony. I'm not telling you what I heard. I'm telling you what I've gone through myself. I've been there and done that. But not only this word "know" reveals experientially the word "know," but then expectationally is revealed in the word "know." Because first of all, when he says, "and we know," he's talking to experienced folk who know it ain't over till it's over. And just because you've been delivered out of one thing don't mean you ain't going through another thing. And because God has seen you through some of the darkest days of your life don't mean that stormy weather isn't ahead. But here is the expectation that what he delivered me out of the past, he can do it again. Have I got somebody to talk to me in the church here today? My expectation is what I've been through once, the same God who brought me through that will bring me through this. Expectational. But listen at this, my brothers and sisters. This is so important because when the believer begins to understand how important this word "know" is, it embodies so much more than just head knowledge. Listen, we get excited about this word, no. Why do we get excited about it? Because we can put emphasis. So not only do we know experientially, not only do we know as we expect what God said he'll do again, expectational, but we know emphatically. Listen, what do we know emphatically? That the God that we serve has given us experiences so rich that we're not talking what we heard. We're talking what we know. And so we're emphatic about it because of the experiences we never would have made it out of had God not been by our sides. And so our confidence is not so much in us, but in the God that we serve, who knows us and our situation and will not put more on us than we can bear. And so as a reality, if we go through something, we know God has a greater purpose than what it may appear to be. And so when we know this, we also know that all things work together for good. Now listen, if we were reading this grammatically, it would sound like this. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, comma, to them who are the called according to his purpose, period. But when we read this to examine the pearls in the text that bring, that yield to us the principles that we can practice, no is one of them. But then when we look at this word work, it's important to understand that the Bible says that all things work. Here's another pearl. All things work together for good. Now, what I need you to understand is the whole term literally means engineered excellence. You catch that when you wake up. Engineered excellence. Turn to your neighbor and say, all things work together for good is engineered excellence. Somebody say, yeah, I got it. Yeah. All right. Let me explain it to you. If God has engineered all things, talking about for the believer, that work together for good, then how does he deal with the stuff that's no good? How does he deal with the stuff that is ill affecting the good? How does he deal with the rain and the sunshine? How does he deal with the darkness and the day? How does he deal with everything that seems contrary to the end result? Well, here's this word work. The actual deeper meaning of the word work means worketh or working. So here's what you've got to understand. Because God has so ordered this thing to end up good, the work never stops until the bad becomes the good, until the wrong becomes the right, until the low becomes the high, until the crooked becomes the... Are y'all hearing me here? The work has to keep on going until it ends up good. That's why when you're going through some stuff and you're looking at it and it looks mighty bad, you need to be able to have the confidence of saying, it ain't over yet. It's still working under the scenes. It's still working behind the scenes. It's still working in the unseen because it's not yet good. God has engineered this thing for excellence. If you look up the deeper meaning of good, one of the words you're going to find there is excellent. And what you're going to understand is that God has placed good in multi-levels. There's low good, medium good, and excellent good. Now, all of that comes out of your relationship with him. Let me help you understand again that all things work. All things work. Everything that's in it works. You've heard the illustration before. You're baking a cake. You take butter. You take flour. You take vanilla extract. You take this. You take that. You put all of that in. You put a little salt in it. You might put sugar. Whatever it is. Let's say you put 5 ingredients. Depending on the cake it is, it may be 10 ingredients. Let's say it's only 3 ingredients. Whatever it is that's in the bowl, when they get to mixing it, they're working together. Now, they went in individually. One might have been put in here, the other might have been put over there, the other might have been dropped in there, and they may all have their several places. But the mixing hadn't come. The mixing is the process by which the work takes place. And so if it was an old hand beater, then they sit down with the bowl and beat it with the hand. I was never forget when I was a little boy, I used to watch my grandmother make cakes. Every now and then she'd say, "Boy, beat this while I go check the stove." And I sit down there with the bowl and I'd take that spoon and I'd beat it. But then I've learned that when she had multiple cakes to make, she'd used her mixer or her blender and beat the bill and beat all of that stuff together. And everything that was individual, the yellow butter, the white flour, the dark colored vanilla, and all the rest of that, when they all blended together, they were one solid color. And everything that was separate worked together for the flavor she knew would come out in the end. And my brothers and sisters, one of the things you got to know, I don't know how she knew it, but she knew when it was ready to go into the fire. If I would beat it and I say, "It's enough," she said, no, "That's got lumps in it." Or, "It has air in it," or whatever the case is. She would know exactly what it was. The same with God. God makes work continue on in a continuous fashion until that thing ends up being good. Now, why is this important? Well, here's what you'll understand. You'll stop getting so timid and so fearful and so fretful about every little thing that happens if it doesn't happen the way you want it to happen. You stop whining and crying and getting on the phone and telling everybody this and telling everybody that and going through this and going through that because things aren't going your way. You start learning to understand that God has a greater plan for me. Maybe right now he's not revealed it all to me, but one of the things I do know is that I'm in the plan. And if I'm in the plan, he's allowing all of these things to have its several part in the process to work out for my good. It's been engineered for excellence. That means I've just got to keep the faith and keep the hope that until this thing is over, I know God is in the midst of working it out. Listen. Now, he says, to them that love God. This is exclusive entitlements. This is only to them that love God. Well, what does this say? It's not to the world. It's not just to the church. Because you got some folk in church who do not love God. It's clear by their living. It's clear by their giving. It's clear by their service. It's clear by their worship. They're just there. For what? I don't know. But they don't love God. So it's not for everybody in church or everybody on church rolls or people who sit in ministries and who are not ministering. It's not for some position you hold or some group you're in. It's for those who love God. This is exclusive entitlement. What does that mean? You can tell me all you want. You love the Lord. He knows. And he's not going to allow this process of engineered excellence to work for you if you don't love him. Are you listening to me? Your name can be on Greater King David's roll, but if it's not in the Lamb Book of Life, and God knows you love him, this ain't for you. You're claiming a promise that's for those who exclusively love the Lord. Those are the entitlements for them. That all things work together for good to them that love God. Listen, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, you're talking about executive election. Why is it executive election? Well, the word says called. Who you think made the call? God did. You didn't call him. He called you. And when he called you, he called you for a purpose. Not any purpose, but his purpose. Don't get it twisted. He didn't call you to ask you your purpose, because you don't know your purpose for what his purpose is for creating your life. When you knew anything, you were here. When you knew anything, they had to tell you your name. When you knew anything, they had to tell you when you were born. Are y'all hearing me here? So you didn't know your purpose. You didn't know when you got here, what time you got here. And when you got here, you didn't know what you were to do here. Matter of fact, those who had you didn't know. Some of y'all don't understand that what purpose God had for you, it was for his glory and your good. According to his purpose. We miss the blessing of truly understanding why we go through things. Us going through stuff really ain't got nothing to do with us for us. It's us for him. He made us so that what we go through, because he made us, know what's in us, know what's all about us, surrounding us, that we can deal with, that we cannot deal with. He gave us tests that would bring out the best in us and bring glory to his name, but better your life when it was through. See, some folk don't understand that when God brought you here, it wasn't so you could have a life of Raleigh. So you can just walk around acting like every day was sunny and howdy and no clouds and no troubles and no trials. You were just a child of God and every day was just an easy, sunshiny day. No. You're here to prove that God is who he say he is. And to everyone he has called, the purpose of their calling will be revealed in the earth realm. So if he don't send you through stuff, who's he gonna send it through? If he don't give you a test, who is he gonna test? If he's not preparing you for heaven life, who is he preparing? If you're not a witness to be able to talk of his goodness and share his mercy and grace, well, who's going to be that? And so God wants you to understand his purpose for your life is to bring him glory. Not so you can go around here bragging on yourself, you got this and you got the favor of God. Yeah, but you got to do something for the favor of God. Like please him. When you please him, then the favor of God is all over you. But you can't think that he brought you here to make you this, that, and the other so that you be worshiped. Jesus said, I didn't